Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Greg. Hey, it's Greg Grunberg from Heroes, and I know what you're thinking. Stardish Radio couldn't be better. It could be if I was on the show every single day. But yes, I, like you, love this show. You're listening, you're calling in, you're blogging in, you're on the computer. It's Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Today is November 19, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne, and I want to welcome everybody back to Stardish Radio. I cannot get over the fact that we're midway through the month. It's just completely insane. I won't be on the air for the next week and a half or so because of the holiday, but come back for December 1st for a fabulous show with Philadelphia's own Chief State King, Tony Luke Jr., who is also throwing his hat into the acting ring with an indie movie that he wrote and produced called The Nail, which can currently be seen on HBO as well as the movie channel, and it can be rented on DVD. It's a great, great movie. I really recommend it. It's called The Nail. So, and that show will be at 9 p.m. Eastern time, so note the time change. So let's see. Well, I'm just jumping right into this one. Tonight's guest, he's only 32 years old, but he has already played some of the most famous roles, Shay in Evita, Jesus in Superstar, Joe in Damn Yankees, Claude in Hair. In the history of the world stage, and of late, he has turned his attention to television, where he is dazzling millions of fans as love-struck high school teacher Nick Chavez on One Life to Live, where he's proven to be so incredible and so popular in this role that what was originally planned to be just a short-term day player part has grown into a full-fledged, fleshed-out character. He's come by the show tonight to talk about his career and to drop some hints, hopefully, about what lays ahead for Nick and for One Life to Live's sizzling, history-shattering love triangle. So please give a warm Stardish welcome for the delightful and dazzling Nicholas Rodriguez. Welcome,
wow.
Nicholas.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good, and I could only hope to ever live up to all those really nice things that you just said about me. I was listening to you, and I thought, wow, that guy sounds really interesting. Oh, wait, she's talking about me.
Well, you know what? From what I understand, from people that have spoken to you, they are well-deserved, and I must confess, this intro was actually written for me from a person, Brandon, which you've done his show, Brandon's Buzz. He's
oh,
a colleague of mine. He's a very dear friend of mine, and he knew you were going to be on the show tonight, so I asked him to pen something up for me. So,
oh, that's really nice of him. How sweet.
Yeah, so these are Brandon's words. In my voice, we had to throw the New York into it.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it.
Okay, well, you know, I'm so happy that you came by. I know these shows and questions probably become monotonous after a while, but I want to just thank you for your time.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? And it's so funny because, you know, unlike stage, doing this television stuff, you don't get the immediate feedback that you would from an audience. So these interviews couldn't be any they're not monotonous at all. You know, I mean, it's really
wonderful.
Fun to hear the interaction and hear what people think about it and people think about your work, because it's just really fascinating to see how people are really taking to the character. You know, it's
well,
exciting.
Being on a soap is the right place for that, because these fans are not shy and they shall tell what they see.
That's very true. You know, it's interesting too, having a character that has the same name as me, because it's you know, there's so much personal about what you do in this business and this soap industry. It's not just leave your work at home or leave your work at the office kind of thing. You take it home with you. So also having, you know, being called Nick in real life is just a little interesting. You know, you're like, come on, people, keep us separate.
Yeah, well, you know, that question I had for you, I'm just going to jump to that one since we're talking about. Do you have any kind of fan encounters, good, bad, or indifferent, that you can tell us about walking down the streets in New York, people screaming out your name?
Yeah, it's not necessarily screaming out my name, but it has happened several times, which has been interesting because I shot the show probably for like 6 weeks before anybody knew who I was, obviously, because
right.
It didn't air. So it was going to work every day was no big deal. You just walked in and you walked past and nobody was asking for my autograph. And then that, you know, once it started airing, that kind of changed. But it's interesting, like the other day, for instance, I was getting a bagel at the same bagel store that I've gone to for 6 years since I've lived in this neighborhood, and this woman is like, oh, my God, you're Nick. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm Nick. And she's like, I know you. And it just dawned on me. I was like, oh, she probably watched the show, you know, because I was like, I don't think I know this woman. She's like, Nick, I know you. And so it just was just so cute.
That's hysterical. I could just see it, the bagel and the New York accent. So now you know what you need to do. You need to give her a signed headshot to put in the bagel shop. That's like a customary thing in New York for actors to do. You know, like Seinfeld did. Everywhere he went, he gave somebody a headshot.
Well, but come on, he's Jerry Seinfeld. Me, I'm just the guy that buys.
Come on, man. I mean, you're a New York actor. So
yeah.
Put your face out there. Say, oh, Nick Rodriguez is here from One Life to Live. There's his headshot over the bagels.
That's very funny. And I did make the mistake one time of being at the gym. I had finished shooting for the day, and I went to the gym. Usually I go before we shoot, mm-hmm. and I was on the treadmill, which faces, you know, a bank of televisions at 2 o'clock as One Life to Live is airing.
Uh-huh.
And so the guys on either side of me, they were like, is that you up there? And I was like, yeah. And that very quickly got on. I was like, there's nothing worse than watching yourself on TV while you're sweating like a fat pig on the treadmill.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Sweating, maybe fat pig. I don't think so. Let's move on from that. I mean, maybe if you swallowed a piece of gum, you might be able to clean that one, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Let's not go there, Nicholas.
All right.
Let me start here. Tell me a little bit about you, yourself, and your background, like where you grew up, how you got into acting, that kind of thing.
I grew up in Austin, Texas. I'm a Texas mm-hmm. boy, born mm-hmm. and raised, and all of my family still lives there. Both sides, and I came from like a musical family, I suppose. My grandmother was an elementary school music teacher, and my dad had always kind of sung in rock and roll bands, so we always kind of had it around, but, you know, grew up in Texas, it was definitely, you know, the home of Friday night football, mm-hmm. basketball. I mean, we played every sport known to man all the way through high school, so there was really, you know, but somehow my parents just let me do both, and they were always really supportive of letting me do whatever I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. I guess about when I was in the sixth grade, my mom took me to see my first musical. It was at a traveling show of Ain't Misbehavin'. And I just didn't know something like that existed. You know, people could get up there and they could sing and they could do all this stuff and people clap. So I just knew that I had to do something in that kind of realm, you know. And then started doing it in high school, and here I am.
So how did the role for One Life to Live come to you?
Well, I had auditioned about a year ago. It was my first time to ever audition for One Life to Live. It was for, mm-hmm. they were looking for the role of Skyler.
Right.
And I didn't get it, but they said, well, we'd like you to meet Frank Valentini and Ron. And so I went in and had a meeting for them, and I did, you know, the material at the producer session. And oddly enough, you know, that was when, actually at the time, Brett Claywell got the role of Skyler Joplin, and then that didn't work out, and they then hired Scott Joplin to play Skyler. So it's just interesting that three of us were all there that same day, and now we're here.
Right.
So then about 6 months later, they had this role of, I think his name was Griffin, that they were going to bring on for 3 or 4 episodes. They were looking for a white Caucasian, you know, gym guy, very confident, sexy kind of guy, typical. But I remember the first three words of the breakdown were all-American, Caucasian. So I thought, why am I here? You know? So I went, they called, and I went in, and it was, again, at the end, it was all these, you know, beautiful white boys with blonde hair and shiny teeth and blue eyes. And I got the job somehow. And what started out to be was supposed to be four episodes, is now been 6 months. So.
Unbelievable, and it's an unbelievable ride.
But the name had to go. The very first, I mean, I was kind of excited about being Griffin, and then I showed up for work, and Ron said, you're not a Griffin. I like Nick, so you're going to be Nick. So.
Yeah, a Griffin, no, not at all. I'm glad that he did that. Very smart.
And originally, you know, it was just Nick for a while until they decided, okay, he's going to be here, we're going to give him a last name. So I was, you know, it's interesting that they went from, you know, looking for a Caucasian actor to be in this love triangle and then deciding to name me Nick Chavez and be a political activist. And all. It was just interesting to see it all come about and just to
and
see
develop.
Them play with it and develop it basically around us. So it was really fun to be a part of.
I think it's an amazing story, especially the fact that they were looking for the all-American Caucasian. It reminds me of, I don't know, I don't want you to think I'm like it's a comparison, but Susan Lucci was the same way. Back when she started for All My Children, everybody told her she would never get it because she wasn't tall, blonde hair, and blue-eyed. But as soon as they saw her, it was like, cancel everybody else out. This Italian's got it. So it's you know, all American isn't all American. You know what I mean?
And, you know,
it's
hopefully as time goes on, the face of that is changing, you know?
Stereotype, right, right.
One thing I love about our show, too, is that people don't, you know, in just the few months that I've been there, it's just there's not really like, oh, we have to put the black actors with the black actors and the brown actors with the brown actors and the white. You know, we're all just kind of in there together. Now you have this gay storyline and this lesbian storyline. It's really, you know, muddying the waters, too. And it's just exciting that, you know, they're not seeing boundaries over there at ABC. So, you know, and that's where it starts, frankly, in the world, you know.
Absolutely.
So
not in the least.
Going in homes and...
One Night to Live, I think, is probably one of the best soaps for diversity. You know, they're not afraid to have, you know, different colors mixed with different colors and different, you know what I mean? They're not afraid of that as so many other shows, you know, I think still are. But I applaud them for that. And I think what they're doing with the storyline is actually very respectful to the genders and respectful to people's preferences. You know what I mean? I don't think they're blowing it out of proportion and, it's not like a Will and Grace episode, I guess I could put it that way, you know?
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that you make that comparison because Will and Grace, that's what I had to, you know, when I was growing up, that was the cutting-edge thing. And even still, you know, which is amazing, you know, you can't, that and some other things paved the way. You can't discredit it, but at the same time, you know, we have come a little far, so it doesn't, all the gay characters don't necessarily have to be the quippy, flamboyant assistant, you know? But at the time, thank God for Will and Grace, you know, because we didn't really have a lot of other options. And it still is great comedy regardless, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I still watch all the reruns. That's what I watch at nighttime before I go to bed. I think it's hysterical. I love that show. But, you know, as far as One Life and that. But, no, I see what you're saying. But now, let me, as not even as an actor, but as a gay man, what does it mean to you to be able to play a role like this on television now?
It's been life-changing. I mean, I have to say, there's no ounce of cliche in that at all. You know, if you would have asked me 6 months ago, you know, for instance, if I would have gotten on One Life to Live and not played a gay man, just played, you know, a straight man, it may have, even me, though, even though I'm out and proud, I would have had to think twice about how do I handle this or, you know, do I let people at work know and da-da-da-da-da. But because I came in playing a gay role, it was it definitely made it easier for me to just be free and be myself. Mm-hmm. And that has just changed my life just as far as everything else, like the response from the community, the sense of being part of a larger society, you know, not just the gay society, but other society too, to be able to reach out and to hear what other people have to say and, you know, for people to say, we're so proud of you, you know, complete strangers to say, you know, we're proud of you. And all I keep saying is, well, I'm just being myself, you know, but for a lot of people, that's not the easiest thing to do.
No, absolutely. Now, I would imagine that your story probably inspires a lot of people maybe, you know, to be themselves where, you know, some may be afraid. Have you gotten any responses like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think Facebook is one of the greatest things for that, you know, because back in the day, and don't get me wrong, I've gotten a lot of actual written letters as well, but to hear people that will go into depth about their story and, you know, I try to respond to as many as I can. Well, no, I respond to all of them. But it's just really impressive to me that people are so willing to share their story and to see how it relates. And especially because we're in a triangle, so there's three different people for somebody to identify with. You know, it's not just one isolated character on a story. We're three different individuals, you know, so somewhere in there somebody's seeing themselves or seeing their brother or, you know, that's been kind of the greatest gift of the whole thing. I mean, more so than the paycheck and the work. It really has empowered me on a personal level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for that.
I mean, I don't want to pry, but could I ask you how it was for you when you first came out?
Well, Sure. No, it's come on. You gotta pry.
Okay, well then, pry. Tell me all. This is a side dish.
Well, you know, I had a different. Oh my God, it's interesting. I've never really talked about this other than the friends family, but I had a unique coming out experience in that I was a little bit older than a lot of my friends. I had already finished undergrad and grad school, and I just didn't. You know, I'm a very disciplined and ordered kind of person, and I always like to do. You know, I think things through. I don't act really impulsively. So I just wanted to be sure that I knew, you know, before I made this big blanket, you know, announcement that was going to affect my family and, you know, and people I had dated in the past. And I had dated, you know, a lot. Obviously, I was a college kid. I went to grad school. And I didn't want to be hasty about it, you know. And even though I had wonderful gay friends and wonderful straight friends, it wasn't so much a fear of, you know, being gay. I just wanted to know because I thought, you know, this is going to be hard for my family to swallow. And it was at first, but the first thing they told me is that we still love you. You know, we don't understand this choice that you're making, but we still love you. And I just looked at them very calmly and said, you know, I just would hope that in time you understand that it's not a choice, that I didn't, trust me, I'm not choosing to have this conversation if I didn't have to have this conversation. If there was another way for me, and I said, I just know myself well enough that I have to be happy. And, you know, that was 10 years ago. And now it's, you know, life is great. There's none of that concern anymore. And, you know.
That's fabulous.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, you're so spot on that, and I really wish so many people would really just see it's not a choice. So many people would not be choosing to be berated on a daily basis. You know what I mean? Or go through certain things. It's just you. And love me or leave me.
What's also interesting to me is that, you know, people compare, you know, various types of people with what they think is the norm, you know, and people, like I've heard before, people say to me, like, you're a normal gay guy. I can appreciate you, or I can understand you. And you don't, like, until you've walked in somebody else's shoes, you know, I don't know what it's like to be transgendered, but I know that it can't be easy to walk down the street like that. So, you know, have some compassion for people and realize that that's their life. That's, you know, they're still a human being, and they have every right to walk down the street and be who they are. And maybe if we accept it, you know, accept them for who they are, it'll just get easier down the line. You know, sure, some people may be, and I'm not just speaking of transgender, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, sexuality issues that people are dealing with, but unless we all support each other, there's no way it's going to get easier for anybody, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, and, excuse me, like, I'm choking on my words. I said the other day to someone, I think I might even put it as a status on my Facebook, my normal might not be your normal, so just deal with it, you know? I mean, who's to say what is normal? Mine might not be yours, and yours might not be mine, but you know what? We're all here together, and that's just the way that it is. You know, for crying out loud, learn to get along and love each other.
Well, and it's not just about sexuality. I mean, let's be real.
Right.
The same principle applies to religion and tolerance of any kind, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it just blows my mind that I live in one of the most, you know, culturally and ethnically diverse cities in the world. And even still, within that, you can, you know, people can still pass judgment on somebody for something that they believe in that's religion. And if you boil it all down, I mean, we're pretty much all saying the same thing, you know? Like, let's be good people, you know? Let's strive for a higher goodness and hope for salvation in the end, you know?
You know what? I always say, and I tell my kids, 'cause I have mixed children. Both my children are biracial. And I tell them all the time, look at your veins. We all have blue blood, and as soon as you get cut, it all turns the same color. We are no different than nobody else. Simple as that, and leave it alone.
You know, I think it's interesting that you say that, because, I mean, I've talked about that to people, too. I think it's, you know, being biracial and having other friends that are biracial, it's, you do kind of, you have an advantage in that you look at things differently because you can't easily identify with one side or the other, you know, and you deal with it growing up, you know, your whole life, and it's just part of who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you already have that level of tolerance, you know, from both races, and so I think it does make you that, you know, one step easier to understanding.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, I can't say that. I'm going to be 40, and in the 80s, it was not easy to go tell, you know, your big 6'4" father that, you know, you had a black boyfriend, you know, growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in. It just was unheard of, you know. So, and then to come 15 years later, tell him that we're getting together and having a baby, it wasn't easy. It still, you know, it took a long time for them to come to grips with it. But you know what? I gave them their first grandson. He's gorgeous, and they love him to death. So.
And, you know, it's not any easier in 2009, too. I mean, it's so interesting. A friend of mine just went through the very same experience. But the same thing, you look at those grandkids, and you're like, wow, that's where love is. You know, you realize that it's not about
We've
our
We've come a long way, baby. We
Absolutely.
Certainly have.
We're still
well,
going,
all right.
You know?
Let me see here. I want to get to some questions before I pick up some of your incredible fans that are patiently waiting. Oh, actually, I have a question in the chat room from Di. She wants to know, let me pull it back up. Joanne, can you ask Nick if he was offended by Dorian pretending to be gay to get elected?
No. I was definitely not offended by it because I was there. And I saw the genesis of how it happened, and I listened to how passionately I knew what the story was intending to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched as, you know, the scripts were passed out. We all get it the same day. I watched her have Robin Strasser have her concerns about it. And I just saw the amount of respect that people were putting into it. And, you know, we had – that storyline was very intense. You know, everybody – because it affected everybody on down the line. All those principals were involved in it. Everybody took a stance one way or the other. So you really got to see people's true colors through the whole thing, you know?
Right.
So I knew where what the writer's intentions were, and I knew what the actress's intentions were.
Mm-hmm.
Dorian has a history of being a little erratic, and, you know, she got caught up in something. You know, she wanted to win. She made a blanket statement. She wasn't trying to, you know, offend gays or lesbians. She just got caught up in this thing, you know?
Right.
And look, let's be honest, you know, gay people and straight people don't always get married for the same reason. And, you know, there are plenty of straight couples out there that get married for whatever reason, you know, you know, I don't even want to get into the ethics of it, but I think ethics are a personal thing. So, you know, I've been asked a couple of times, you know, does this ruin the sanctity of marriage that Dorian's pretending to be a lesbian? I'm like, how many times has she been married on the show? 9 times? You know, like, at what point is it the sanctity of marriage, you know? So, you know, to answer your question, no, I wasn't personally offended about her getting caught up in being a lesbian. And hopefully, as the months go on, I mean, it's being handled well. As she's, you know, as it all plays itself out, throughout the rest of the year and into the new year, I hope people are impressed with how honest we're all being about it, you know?
Mhm. Well, I agree. So there you go, Di. I want to. You know what? Let me pick up a caller, and then we'll get into some more of my questions. This is area code 616. You're on the phone with Nick. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
My name is John. I'm from calling from Michigan.
Hey, John.
Hi, John. Say hi to Nick.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm very impressed with how you and Brett and Scott have been doing the roles. Since the beginning, it's actually the best gay storyline I've seen on daytime in a long time, and I've been watching since Billy Douglas and Ryan Phillippe in '92 on One Life to Live, and it's the best one they've had in a very long time, not just on One Life, but on daytime in general. But the one thing I really love about the story is it's not really a gay story, it's more of just a love story, because Ron is doing a very good job, in my opinion, of treating your guys' triangle as he would, like, Todd, Taya, and Blair, or anybody else's, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, we're all very conscious of that. And, you know, I was lucky to join a party already in progress. Brett and Scott had been, you know, playing their relationship for a couple of months before I got involved. So I got to join a team that really liked each other and had kind of laid a groundwork of what the deal was going to be. And then I came into the mix, and we just all get along so incredibly well, and we're really passionate about the work. Like, we get really excited about the scripts, and we all have one goal, and it's to we all just say to each other, we just got to be honest. We got to tell the truth. And if something comes across that raises a red flag or that we think is hokey or that's something that we wouldn't really do, we just feel the obligation to speak up. And, you know, we're listened to. They've been really great. The writers and directors have been really great about being sensitive to not letting this be cliche or trite, you know, as much as you can in a soap world, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I guess the one thing that I would say, not that it's a negative, but the one aspect of, like, the triangle that I would have liked to see happen before Kyle ended up going back to Oliver is, and I don't know if this had to do with time because they wanted the gay wedding to coincide with Election Day, but I wish they would have had Kyle and Nick date more on screen.
You and me both.
They went on that one date, and then you weren't on for like a month, and you came back, and it seemed like you guys had been dating forever. But
yeah, I think I don't know the reason why things happen the way they happen. I'm just trying to, like, catch up and keep up. I'm grateful to still be there, but it was originally just to be this little thing. I mean, I think it all just kind of started happening, so the writing had to kind of catch up. You know, it wasn't all planned out from the start. It wasn't some grandmaster plan. It's just these ideas just started happening, and actually, they started to realize that, and more scenes were added than were, you know, we kept shooting things out of order, because they knew that I was going to be this activist, but it didn't know that I would still be with them. So it was just interesting how it all happened. You know, like, I would shoot completely out of order, you know, just because we were trying to make up for time. You know, like, our first love scene that Brett and I shot, for instance, was shot months after, you know, some others, like my first scene with Erica Slezak, you know. So it's just interesting the order they aired. But hopefully, you know, the relationship, we just tried to keep it as honest and simple as possible and believed that stuff happened off camera, you know?
No, definitely. No, it definitely came through, because that's the one good thing. I don't really know, like, if you guys talk to each other a lot outside of work, but you guys, all three of you, seem to be on the same page of, like, being able to evoke and emote these emotions, not even just with words, but just facial expressions. And that's why I think a lot of people are like, okay, we might not have seen all that, you know, but it's definitely coming through, because there's a relationship that Oliver and Kyle had that in college that nobody has seen, but they just keep hearing about. But it's
right.
Just the chemistry between all three of you that's allowing the audience to believe that it's for real, you know.
Well, thank you. And, you know, that's got to be the biggest compliment, because you're right. You know, it is a soap opera. There are other storylines, you know, going on. But in our world, this is our world, the Nick Oliver and Kyle world, you know. I swear to God, I've only had 6 martinis.
Well.
So it is important to us that, you know, we keep our – we always talk about our continuity. Pretty much every time that we go, any of us shoot together, whether it be the three of us together or just me and Brett or just me and Scott, we always sit down and talk before. We never just, you know, wing it. And especially with the stuff that's coming up in the next few months, I've never been more proud of a colleague than Brett. You know, the stuff that we, you know, had, the stuff we had to do and, you know, the stuff that we had to work on was just, and are working on now, it required big trust and, you know, a strong colleague. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, thank you. And thank you for taking my questions.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Well, you know, again, this just shows the impact that you're making.
It's very flattering. I mean, it never stops, you know, being humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing how it affects people.
Right. Our next caller is area code 857, and I believe this is Alex. Alex, say hi to Nick. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Alex?
Yes?
You're on the phone with Nick.
Okay, great. So, Nick, I'd like to know a little bit more. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to know a little bit about your life before One Life to Live, and in particular, what did you study in graduate school, and did that have any impact on what you're doing now?
Well, in graduate school, I did – I have my master's in music. I was a vocal performance major and studied oral theory. And yes, I mean, absolutely. I think any kind of artist, when you study on that level, it absolutely affects who you become and the things you do. My teacher and mentor, she was really big on telling me to go out and do, even though I was a music major, go out and see an art history lecture, go out and watch the ballet, go do all these things, because you'll never know at what point it's going to affect, you know, your career. And I think the same, whether you're doing an opera, whether you're doing a ballet, whether you're doing a soap opera, whether you're reading a poem, at the end of the day, you're communicating to people, you're telling a story, and you're committing 100% to that involvement. So yes, even though it was music that I studied, I think it absolutely relates to at least the passion that I have for what I do on stage and on TV.
Excellent. And have you had the opportunity to sing some choral works, you know, opera or kind of classical choral works, or what did you sing when you were in school or
I did. My degrees are in classical music. I sang choral works. I haven't sung choral works since college. I've soloed with a few choruses since, but you know, I was focusing more as a solo artist. And you know, I did operas in college, and I did them when I first moved to the city. I haven't done a full opera since probably 2001, but I've done Masterclass, the Terrence McNally play based on Maria Callas' lectures at Juilliard, where I played the tenor and I sing Cavaradossi's first act aria from Tosca.
Wow.
So, you know, I still do, I still try to, my teacher always said, stir the pot. Like, even if the pot's on the back burner, you got to stir it every once in a while.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But in the meantime, you know, things have, my career's moved more to the Broadway and pop music kind of thing.
I
still love the classical music, obviously.
I see. And one last question. Do you ever go to the opera in New York?
Oh, yeah. I love it. And that's the one good thing about One Life to Live is that we tape 3 blocks from Lincoln Center. I remember my very first day, we got out at night, and I walked over to the fountain, and it was the opening night of the New York Phil, and they were playing, they had the big screens on the park, so it couldn't have been a better day of my life to walk out of, you know, shooting my television show into the mecca of the music world and be at Lincoln Center. It's pretty incredible.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, thanks very much.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Alex. Well, you know, like Alex, I like to find out other things about my guests when they call in, other than the acting parts or whatever genre of entertainment I'm talking about. Tell me about what you do to relax after a long day on the set.
I just told you, 6 martinis.
not enough.
No, I like, you know, I love what I do, and I love watching other people do what I do. I love going to the theater. I love going to the opera. There's very rarely that I have a free night that I'm not trying to go and see something. I love jazz, you know, both listening to it with a glass of wine or going to a club and hearing it. We just have so many great artists that come to the city that you can go check stuff out. I love nothing more than getting together with friends and cooking dinner. You know, I just bought a house recently and have really started getting into cooking. I'm about to take some cooking classes at the Culinary Institute here. So those are kind of things. I play with my dog to relax.
What kind of dog do you have?
A Springer Spaniel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adorable. Well,
yeah.
You know, matter of fact, I'm coming into New York City next week. I might have to stop by and have a martini. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, come on. We'll make some pasta.
You know, I can cook. I got kids. I know how to cook other things besides macaroni and cheese.
But you can't knock a good macaroni and cheese, too. I mean, I had some of the best macaroni and cheese last night at this restaurant up in Harlem called Melba's.
Oh, really?
Ooh, I got to give a plug because they could do some macaroni and cheese up at Melba's on 114th and Frederick Douglass.
Really? Well, I'm bringing to the city. I'm up in Buffalo, but I'm from Westchester County, Yonkers, and I'm driving down for Thanksgiving, and I'm bringing my grandmother's recipe that I'm making of her pierogies for Thanksgiving.
Great.
Yeah, so I won't come empty-handed. Okay, now tell me a little bit about growing up in Austin.
Oh, have you been? It's one of the greatest cities.
No,
in the
you know
world.
What? I haven't been off of the East Coast other than but one time to California for like a day.
It's one of the coolest cities to live, to visit, to grow up, for sure, you know. It's just kind of this, like, little mecca in, you know, a big Republican state, an open-minded, fun, free-thinking mecca, and we've got, Hill Country, we've got Lakes, we've got the ballet, we've got the opera, we had Stevie Ray Vaughan, a Janis Joplin, it was just kind of one of the coolest places to grow up. And both of my parents had grown up there, too, so we definitely were entrenched in Austin.
I saw the other day Sandra Bullock. She has a pastry shop in Austin.
Yeah, she has a house there.
Yeah, so I caught it just on the fly, but she has a pastry shop there. I can't remember what the name of it is off the top of my head, but anyway, let's see. We got another caller here. We're going to area code 954. This is Linda. Linda, you there?
I am. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Good. How are you? Say hi to Nick.
I'm good. Hey, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Linda. 954, is that Fort Lauderdale?
You bet. Yeah, Fort Lauderdale.
I just booked a ticket to come see you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I love it there. I love your city.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you would have to look me up. Absolutely.
That's awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. It's raining outside right now. I'm actually headed to my girlfriend's house. We're going to do the new moon midnight show movie thing with the girls.
Sounds very fun.
Yeah. So I just, big fan, number one. Thank you so much for coming on the show and spending time with your fans. I just think you're doing such an awesome job, and we're just so blessed to have you grace our screen during the week. And,
thank you.
Such a doll. You're so cute.
Isn't he? Don't you just, want to pinch him?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. You're adorable, and I think you're doing a great job, and, you're obviously, very level-headed, smart guy, and, gosh, I think you're going to definitely be around for a long time.
Well, let's hope. Your mouth to God's ear,
Linda, I have to tell Nick, and I have to confess, Nick, Linda is actually my best friend.
Oh, hi.
And I was in Fort Lauderdale for, 12 years before I moved back to New York, something like that. So, yes, go down and hang out in Coral Springs with Linda.
I love it there. I go there as much as I can.
Do you really? I couldn't stand it.
It's like my favorite getaway spot, other than in Austin. I mean, other than being here, if I can just pop down for a weekend and recharge my batteries and see my friends, I love it.
Oh, wonderful.
Great food and... the beach and the clubs and all sorts of fun stuff.
Whatever. Go back to your, I know, I couldn't stand the heat. How to get out of it.
Well, good luck to you, Nick, and I hope you have a great holiday, and keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, I'll put you on hold.
Okay. All right.
She's so funny. I'm actually doing the new moon thing tonight also with my kids. At midnight.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. All right. Did you ever get into that? Do you like the movies?
I read the books, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I read the four books. They're fun.
Oh, I thought they were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Area code 773. You're on the phone with Nick. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? I hear a lot of people. Hello? I don't think they realize I picked them up.
It's a Stardish party over there.
I'm telling you, you hear them? Hello, 773. Where is 773? That sounds so familiar. Okay, well, you're going back on hold till you come back with something. You got to give me something. I can't hear people. All righty. Well, I want to know who is, or if anybody, do you have a roommate for your dressing room?
No, actually, the way it works there is the people on contracts have dressing rooms, and then whoever's not shooting that day, they assign us into those dressing rooms. So my dressing room just kind of changes depending on the day.
Oh, okay, so you're a gypsy in that realm.
Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, what about personal appearances? Are we doing any of those?
I've done some. I've done a few benefits and stuff like that over the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm game to whatever. Set it up. I'll be
well,
there.
What I need to tell you and what I think you should do, because from what I understand, you do have a magnificent voice. One of your co-stars over there, Irene Kristen, is a very good friend of mine. And I think you need to get together with her and go do something in Austin, Texas, because she's dying to go to Austin.
That's so. We just talked about it. We talked about that just the other day at work, and we know some friends in town. I just finished doing this off-Broadway show just prior to One Life called For Lovers Only, and Eileen knew the music director. So we were kind of bantering about that idea. And she does a lot of stuff around the city. I'm putting together my own one-night show. It'll either be late January or early February here in Manhattan. And I'm singing a benefit on Monday night for the Broadway Dreams Foundation here in New York, too. So if people are in New York, they can come check that out.
Really? For, give me a little bit more information on that.
Yeah, it's you can go to mybroadwaydreams.com, and all the information is there. It's it's going to be really fun. It's at 63rd Street here in New York at 7 o'clock. And it's I'm getting to sing with Jen Gambetes, who played Jane in Tarzan with me. So that'll be a lot of fun to reunite with her. And a lot of other really talented Broadway people, Julia Murney, Lauren Kennedy, Alan Campbell, Matt Risch. Some great people are doing it, so I'm in good company.
What other actors out there that you're just dying to work with? Who, give me some names that you're just...
Well, right now, most immediately, I'm dying to work with Florencia on One Life to Live because I think she's incredible.
Yeah.
I kind of have a crush on her. I'm outing myself here on the radio, but I think I'm like... See, it's like I'm in the seventh grade or something. All of a sudden, I can't talk whenever she walks in the room, and she couldn't be nicer.
Really?
So, yes, I will work with her anywhere, and I'm not shy about saying it, too. I just had talked with Ron the other day, too. I was like, when are we going to work together? You know, and it just kind of depends. In my dream Broadway show, I get to work with Audra McDonald. I think she's pretty incredible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly a believer that you have to think big to be big. You got to just put it out there, and
right.
Who knows what will happen.
What about movies?
You know, hey, I'm definitely game. The whole thing is so new to me that I'm just ready to take the ride and see what happens.
Mhm. I think you're adorable. Let me see who else I got here. Oh, I'm just like, I'm gonna out myself and say I have a crush on Nick. Okay. Let's see here. I'm gonna go to area code 813. This is Maggie. So just Maggie, say hi to Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Maggie. How are you?
Okay, you're amazing.
You're amazing.
You're so cute.
Oh, thank you, Maggie.
I love you on One Love to Be.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I love doing it.
Yeah, I want to walk on there with you.
Well, come on.
No. I'm from Tampa.
She's in
nice.
Tampa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful
but,
there.
Yeah, it's beautiful there. Okay, bye.
Bye
Maggie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Maggie has got to be probably one of the biggest Kristen Alderson fans around.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, yes. Absolutely. And she's
I'm
all... She's amazing, isn't she?
So sweet. For
a young girl, oh, wow.
Yeah.
She really, really is.
We've had so much fun in the last few weeks, you know, shooting together, and I got to hang out with her, her and Brittany at the ABC Casino night, too. So it was just really fun.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah, Brittany's a great girl, too. Very sweet girl.
Very cool people, you know, and so level-headed. I'm old enough to be your father, and you're so level-headed.
She really is, and Eddie is amazing also, I have to say. He has grown and matured so much. Did you ever watch One Life to Live before you got the role or any soaps whatsoever?
You know, I'm kind of embarrassed to say no.
Oh, don't be embarrassed. You wouldn't believe some of the, you know, a lot of people don't watch them, and it's kind of like, oh, let me just get caught up. But no, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I had watched a little bit of Young and the Restless when I was in, I would say, like, either late junior high or early high school, when we were home on summer vacation. Just somehow I got clicked into that for a little bit, but that's really the only the only soap experience that I'd had before.
Now, do you watch yourself at all on TV?
I do. You know, I think you kind of have to as an actor. I mean, the people that say they don't, more power to them. But for me, I think what's the best way to know if you're doing good work or if you learn from your own mistakes is what I say.
Mm-hmm. I have another little statement from Di in the chat room. And you know what, Di? I'm going to put you out there. You just need to call in because I'm not asking this question for you.
Uh-oh.
You need to call in and you need to ask. We call her Shy Di because she's just, she pretends to be shy because really I was on a cruise with her and ain't nothing shy about her. So you really need to just call in. She's actually talking about the POS event for next May. She's involved with that with Giovanna Vita Colonna. So she's like, yes, I'm asking already, but you need to call in and you need to talk to him. Because
sure,
I ain't asking
know.
Him again. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, I just booked my ticket. I'm going to go down to Fort Lauderdale.
For Thanksgiving. Wonderful. You can go to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. Look at that.
My friend.
All their kids are in New York.
My friend is having a birthday, so I'm going down for the big birthday party and singing at it. And so I thought, well, you know what? If I'm going down for the party, I might as well just come down a few days early for Thanksgiving.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird being, well, maybe not for you, but for me it was, being in a warm climate for all these winter holidays? I never got used to it.
Well, I grew up in Texas, so we wear shorts on Christmas Day usually. So.
Yeah. So I needed my seasons. I needed the seasons.
Well, I didn't really know what I was missing, so now I definitely enjoy the seasons. But.
New York is amazing for the holidays. I love it. When we come down next week, I'm going to take my kids down to the city and go see the tree and go do the ice skating thing or whatever. My youngest, he's never seen any of that stuff, so it'll be a treat. What's the best advice you received on the set of One Life to Live, and from what actor?
Oh, that's interesting, because I have received, I can't even really say specifically advice as much as I can just watching people work,
Okay.
I mean, I have gotten some really great advice from Brett, obviously, because he's been doing it a lot longer than I have, and from Tuck Watkins, but it's mostly about, work stuff, just about the technical aspect of it. But honestly, I'm such a student, always, I'm always trying to learn, and there's such incredible actors to watch, and I'm saying, oh, that's how they do it, so I want to try and be like that,
Mm-hmm.
Florencia, of course. I mean, no joke there. Erica Slezak, Scott Joplin, various colleagues that I just kind of like watch and learn. Soak it up.
Right. Scott Clifton.
Yeah, did I say Scott Joplin?
Yeah.
Oh, I do that all the time.
He's great. He is. Oh,
yeah.
Look at what I got. I got Di to call in, so here we go. Here's Shy Di. Say hi to Nick Di.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hi, Guy. I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Listen, I love watching the show with you and with Scott and Brett. You guys work really well together. And I was the one that asked that question about Dorian because, for me, I was kind of offended but I guess you see the behind-the-scenes thing. So
right.
I was just wondering, it just kind of bothered me.
Well, and everybody, it's interesting because all of it, everybody reacts to things so differently. I mean, what I was saying earlier about the three of us, what rings true to one person doesn't ring true to somebody else. So, I think the only thing we can do at the end of the day, because we didn't write it and we don't have a say in the flow of it, is just really be honest and try to be committed to what we're doing in that moment,
I know, you guys did. Everybody did fine with it. It was just, I guess the whole thing behind it, it just bothered me a little bit. But I'm
right.
Over it. I mean, you're the actors, you're the ones that are having to play the part. So, if you're okay with it, then who am I to say anything?
Right.
But anyway, the reason Joanne has me calling in because she knows that I don't like talking on the air. Anyway,
well,
you can ask Eileen about this. There's an event every May in New York, and she attends it, and she sings there. And it's for to raise funds for the AIDS Walk New York.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Love Out Loud. And if you ask her about it, maybe you'd like to attend because there have been several people from One Life and all the other shows that are in the area. Anyway, I'm just
I absolutely
putting it out
would.
There now.
I mean, I do. I absolutely, because it's a project that's a passion of mine. I mean, I do every chance I get. So please, keep me in mind?
I'll let Giovanni know. He's the one that puts it all together.
I mean, I do
a lot
of benefits for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. This weekend I'm running, if anybody's in Central Park and wants to send some support, I'm running the Race for God's Love We Deliver, which is an AIDS charity that delivers home-cooked meals to people in the tri-state area that are living with AIDS and also Alzheimer's patients as well, that I've been raising money for the last couple of months. So it sounds right up my alley. I'm definitely passionate about both of those things.
See, Di? Wasn't that bad?
Mm-mm.
Get over it. She's like, okay. I think I lost her. Yeah, I think I lost her. That's okay. You mentioned Tuck Watkins. Is he as much of a madman as he seems?
Madman?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, he's really fun, nice, down-to-earth guy.
He's adorable, too.
Yeah, he's
he
really
truly is.
Yeah.
Now, I need to know, because you are in such good shape, I need to know what your guilty pleasure is as far as dessert goes.
Oh, as far as dessert, man, it really varies. I mean, I very rarely meet a dessert I don't like, but
mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of the red velvet cake. I'm from the South. I'm a huge fan, after a long day, a stressful day, like getting dumped at the altar by Brett Claywell, that's like a straight for Ben & Jerry's, a whole pint, and do not stop.
Ben & Jerry's, what kind?
You know, it really varies. I'm a fan of everything but the kitchen sink.
Mm, okay.
I'm always, like, a good standby is vanilla with Heath.
Oh, okay, right.
Do some damage.
I'm a New York super fudge chunk kind of girl.
Yep, I won't discriminate against that either.
We have a caller. I'll go to Tony from Chicago. Tony, say hi to Nick.
Hold on a second. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hey, Tony, I'm good, thank you.
I'm fine. Listen, I wanted to, of course, commend you and Scott and Brett with that. With this beautiful storyline, that this triangle, gay storyline, whatever it is, and it's been beautifully written, and you guys beautifully acted it, have done it so well, and continue to do it so well.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's very good. Yeah. It is ironic that I mentioned Brett Claywell, and you say you, I looked at an interview over on a source.com, a web interview you did, that you read for the part of Skyler.
Uh-huh.
Which Brett also read, and eventually went to Scott Clifton, which now is your castmate as well. Isn't that ironic?
It is very interesting. You know, Brett actually, I think, shot a couple episodes of Skyler. Brett got the job, and then they decided to go a different way with it. So then that's how they created Kyle Lewis.
Right.
Was for Brett.
Right. And Scott, and of course Scott Clifton is on the show, and now you're his buddy too.
Yep.
And he's a castmate too, so you can have on the set as well. Now another thing, now this is not One Life deliberately. I hear that you did a musical with Adam Lambert of American Idol fame.
I did, yeah. We spent about 7 months in LA doing a show called The Ten Commandments.
Oh, The Ten Commandments.
Yeah, he was my buddy, yeah. He played Jacob, and I played Aaron. Opposite Val Kilmer. You know, a few months ago, that everybody, whenever they would ask about it, they said, well, we heard you did the Ten Commandments with Val Kilmer. Now anybody can ever talk about it is, oh, we heard you did the Ten Commandments with Adam Lambert.
Right.
So we got very, very close during that experience.
That's pretty cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. One final question. I also read that you had a small part in the Sex and the City sequel movie. What was your part? You had a chance to work with the ladies a little bit?
I did, yeah. You know, I wish I could elaborate on it more. They're definitely trying to keep all of that Sex and the City stuff very hush-hush. But I worked on the film for about 2 weeks, and all the ladies were in the scene. So it's going to be really, really fun. It was definitely a fun thing to be a part of.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah,
well,
very cool.
Listen, I'm about to run because karaoke started my bar here.
Oh.
I want to thanks for the time talking to me, and I continue success over on One Life and everything in your career, and I'll be keeping you to watching that story, this triangle, how this develops throughout the next few months.
Thank you. Yeah, we're back on, I think the pot's starting to get stirred again about November 30th or something like that.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, buddy. Have a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays to you, my friend.
Thank you. Enjoy your karaoke.
I will.
Tony.
Bye, Joanne.
So what are we going to expect to see happening with the triangle? What can you hit me off on?
Well, you know, Kyle and Oliver, they're getting settled in. They're starting to date. And I'm still around. So that's pretty much all I can say, you know. I wish so much that there was more than I – there's, you know, an event that happens that kind of shakes everything up and makes us all reevaluate what's going on. And there's nothing premeditated about it. Nick doesn't, you know, clearly does not want to be involved with them, but kind of fates and forces that be kind of force them all to have to deal with each other again.
It's not like a little drama in the daytime, that's for sure.
It's definitely big drama. I mean, they're definitely tackling something pretty huge, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. Just the fact that they're even tackling this issue.
Well, I'm thrilled that you came onto Stardish because you're probably one of the better guests I've had in quite some time. You're very well-spoken, elegant, classy, and I have a crush on you, Nick. Okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
So, there, I put it out there. Again, I want to wish you and your family and everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Have a fabulous time down in Fort Lauderdale. And you know what? I'm going to try and see if I can get to that benefit this weekend since, oh, it's this weekend. No, I can't.
Monday,
I won't be there.
Monday the 23rd, yep.
I am not leaving until Tuesday. Okay, I'll be there Tuesday till the 30th. So if anything,
more. I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely, definitely. Before I let you go, I have to get a promo, please.
Absolutely.
Just this, you know, Nick Rodriguez on Stardish Radio, however you want to put it, whenever you're ready.
Hey, this is Nicholas Rodriguez. You're listening to Stardish Radio. Enjoy, you guys. Have fun.
Nick, again, thank you so much for stopping by. Everybody, please make sure you check out Nick on One Life to Live, ABC. Check your local listings for the times. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Don't forget to come back December 1st for my show with Tony Luke Jr., Philadelphia's own cheesesteak king, and now throwing his hat in the acting ring. Everybody's getting into it, people. He has a great indie movie out on HBO and the movie channel, and it can be rented, called The Nail. Very, very fascinating movie, so make sure you check it out. Until then, we're going to sign off, so have a great one. Bye-bye, everybody.
All right. This is Ignacio Sorricio on Stardust Radio. Stay tuned. And now we got to do the Spanish version. Wait, how do you say it in Spanish? Okay, gotcha. I'm just kidding. Para toda mi gente latina, hispana, esto es Stardust Radio. Acá Ignacio Cerriquio, les mando un abrazo. Cuídense, que Dios los bendiga. Chao.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardust Radio.
Kiss me on the I took your breath and forever.